And joining us now is Captain for United Parcel Service, better known as UPS, and his name is Houston Mills. Houston, welcome to Oshkosh.
Well, thanks, Steve. It's great to be here with you.
Good. Is this your first time here?
This is actually the second time. Okay. We brought that 7-4 in a couple years ago and had a wonderful time.
All right. And you were part of the cargo that arrived here this morning as well, right?
I was. I was in the back and just marveling at Captain Chuck Parker and Katie Wolverly. You know, with the Michael Starnes as the safety observer pilot, they did a great job.
Yeah. Well, it was a wonderful landing, and I got to say, when they hit the thrust reversers, we dried off the runway, so all the folks here appreciate that.
You know, anything UPS can do to help out is a beautiful thing.
That's right. And the reason that the airplane is here, the brand new 747-8, is really to highlight the humanitarian view of UPS, which folks don't really know a whole lot about.
Yeah, you know, it's we UPS, of course, deliver life-saving medicines and vaccines around the world. A lot of people don't know on any given day before the pandemic, we were delivering 50,000 life-saving medicines around the world, 32 different countries every given day. We are uniquely built to be part of the solution for this moment in vaccines. So we're very honored to be part of this process. You know, part of our mission, if you think about UPS, our purpose is moving the world forward by delivering what matters. And so being part of this pandemic fight, if you will, really solidified and brought that purpose to life. So we're very honored that with all the essential workers, there's so many people, you know, who came together to kind of bring this thing together. And it just so happened that, you know, we were uniquely positioned to help. And we're very proud of that.
And again, this is not something that just happened during the pandemic. UPS has been doing this for years. And probably until this was pointed out to me, it was not an aspect of the business that I knew about, but yet makes total sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because we've got 11 million square feet of healthcare logistic feet, space in over 32 different countries around the world. We do a lot of partnership with hospitals and pharmaceuticals, and so our cold chain storage capabilities are very unique. So with take the Pfizer vaccine, and we just so happened to operate, and I had the privilege of operating the first flight in the United States with the former F-16 pilot, Neil Newell, and I flying from Lansing, Michigan into Louisville, Kentucky. And, you know, the Pfizer vaccine in particular, you know, had to really be stored at super cold temperatures. And so our ability to take things live, keep them cold, and make sure that they deliver, you know, in a pristine condition is very unique. And so we're very honored to be part of that.
Yes, well, congratulations on being a part of that flight crew, that very first one that delivered the vaccine, and now we continue to spread the word as it is. But were there any special considerations that went into that flight dealing with that vaccine?
Well, you know, from an aviation perspective, and everyone here knows, right? That's what we do. We prepare for every contingent situation. So for Neil and I, and I had the privilege of flying F-18s in the Marine Corps years ago, and Neil and F-16 guys. So we're both military guys. So it's just another mission. You know, we're just treating it any good in flight. But I would share a story, which is pretty interesting. As we got to Lansing, the vaccines were actually escorted by U.S. Marshals into the facility. And so we're in the gateway doing our paperwork and everything before we got to the plane, and there was a buzz in this gateway facility with about 100 UPSers sorting things, getting them into containers. And so I was like, there's a different type of energy. You know, marshals are here, there's a pep. It's like, wow, this is special. So we go out to the plane, you know, do our pre-flight, we get in, and we're about to taxi out. And all of a sudden, I look out my window, and I see about 100 UPSers coming out the building to watch us depart. And then they all simultaneously start clapping. And they weren't clapping for Neil or I. They were clapping for the moment. They realized that, hey, this was a moment for us to bring the fight to COVID, right? And so I think there's just so much pride. And so when we got back, you know, just the sense of us being part, you know, another link in this chain to bring this fight. And now to this point, that was back in December 13th of 2020. At this point, UPS has delivered over 450 million doses of vaccines to over 90 countries around the world. And we anticipate we'll be over a billion by the end of the year. And so, you know, that flight, I think, for a lot of folks represented the beginning of the end and this sense of hope. And so for us to be part of that, and part of, you know, all the workers, the doctors, the medical providers, and I think for us as aviators, right, this aviation family, we all have this passion and this pride of aviation. We know the precision that it takes and the preparation to be successful. And so for aviation to be at the center of fighting this pandemic is a beautiful thing. And so it's the mechanics, it's the dispatchers, it's the pilots, it's all the ground handlers, it's all those folks on the aviation side that continue to deliver. And UPS happens to have the infrastructure and the expertise to really help accelerate it.
We're talking with Houston Mills, who is with UPS, and you flew in on the 747 today, but that's not your normal ride, is it?
No, I'm actually a 7576 captain, been on that plane since about 2020, and those who like to ride for a long time, I have a lot of admiration for them, but I like the shorter flights.
What's a typical flight for you these days?
I'm currently vice president of flight operations, so I actually had the opportunity to serve about 3,000 pilots at UPS, and really my primary job is making sure they're successful. So I get obstacles out of the way, okay, and help others be successful. But when I do fly it, I try to fly anywhere that'll give me some great recency. I get over to Europe at least once a year, over to Asia once a year, just to maintain my international qualifications down in South America. But mostly I'm just moving obstacles out of the way.
How many pilots do you report to you?
Yeah, so we have a little over 3,000, about 3,200 pilots overall between our line pilots and our management team. Phenomenal. And if I could say this, Steve.
Sure.
You know, different countries have had different restrictions throughout this pandemic. And you talk about tenacity and dedication of pilots to this profession. I am so proud of our folks, because no matter what those restrictions were, our folks didn't hesitate to continue to move forward. They could very easily say, hey, I'm off. I'm backing out of this. But that's not it. All of our folks around the world, from the beginning of this thing flaring up back in January, February of last year, have leaned into this. And there's just no way we're successful. And our pilots are just a reflection of this entire community, which is a beautiful thing.
It certainly is. Because there is a pilot-based audience here, is UPS hiring?
Yeah, so we are. We continue to bring on. In fact, in the last 4 years, we would have acquired over 50 new aircraft. That beauty that you see there is one of our newest ones. So we'll have a total of 28 brand new 747-8s when everything's said and done. And adding that to our complement of 263 plus aircraft overall. So yeah, we still have folks who retire, so there's attrition that goes off, and we got new aircraft that are coming. So we're always looking for good folks. We take care of our folks, not just in the air, but on the ground as well. So if you got a great work ethic, a passion for serving others, and safety, that's who we are.
Excellent. Let's talk a little bit about the airplane that's over on Boeing Plaza right now. 747, of course, they stopped making 74s for passenger service, but they still serve a great role as far as moving important packages.
Yeah, I mean, the queen of the sky, right? Someone's telling me, you had the 777, the 787, I heard the 737 MAX, United had that here yesterday. All those are beautiful, but the queen of the sky is the queen of the sky. And she is just a beautiful thing. She operates, the reliability is phenomenal. We're able to move so much freight and critical goods around the world. And we've got some of the best pilots in the world operating them. So we're thrilled to have her. And Boeing's done a phenomenal job. They've been a great partner to be with. And they certainly have been critical, instrumental in our success throughout this pandemic.
Good. What separates what are the new upgrades on this particular model from previous models?
Yeah, I have to say the next gen FMC. They've got some. I'm not type rated on this particular aircraft, so I couldn't go into any technical details. But certainly, if you look at navigation systems and some of the other avionic tools that this aircraft have, and quite frankly, it's known for its efficiency. So from a fuel perspective, and if you think about it, the environment and conserving fuel and really trying to reduce carbon emissions, this aircraft can do more by burning less. And it seeks speed while it's doing it. So it's kind of mind-boggling, but the engineers really knew what they were doing.
And it's relatively quiet as well for a jumbo jet.
Absolutely. Yeah, nothing like the old F-18s that used to fly back in the day. They make a lot of noise.
That's a totally different kind of noise. That's the kind of noise we like around here.
Yes, sir. The sound of freedom.
That's right. So you mentioned Marine Corps. What was your initial entry into aviation?
Yeah, so I was a pre-law and went to basic officer school in Quantico, fell in love with aircraft, and next thing I knew, I was in Quantico, Pensacola, Florida, learned to fly planes, and was fortunate enough to make it through the classes and end up flying F-18s, and got one tour on aircraft carrier, the Abraham Lincoln, so able to get aviation at its best. Able to go off the Abraham Lincoln and get a little over 100 carrier landings in the process. So just exposed to some beautiful things. And I'll tell you the best thing, as everyone knows here, this is the funnest profession. and they pay us to do it. Yeah. And I tell my boss all the time, you know, I'm amazed that you pay me to do this because I would do it anyway, but I'm glad you do.
That's right. How many hours do you have in flight time these?
Gosh, I got a little 5,000 total. Wow. Yeah, so.
Amazing, amazing. So we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you probably want to go look at some airplanes and kick some tires. Do you have an airplane of your own at the moment?
No. I'm dependent on UPS to get me around.
But
it's a beautiful thing.
I'm sure there's some out here that might want to follow you home.
Well, you know, there's always something. You never know.
All right. Houston Mills with UPS, thank you for taking time to join us this morning. That's going to wrap up our show for today. Tomorrow, we are going to be talking with author Steve Snyder and hopefully Brigadier General Charles McGee, one of the original Tuskegee Airmen. He is here and will be making some appearances at AirVenture 2020. So that's our show for today. I'm Steve Buss, and this is EAA Radio.